Good morning. How is everybody this morning? What a week, right? Dang. Not gonna lie, I'm still stuck on the fact we did a fire tunnel in a Nazarene church. Like, that's kind of boss. I love it. That's so good. I mean, you know, we get these ideas in our minds of what it looks like for churches to lose their lines or stay in their lanes. Well, you guys got a picture. God can do anything. I'm actually a little nervous this morning, which I'm usually not. Usually I'm like locked and loaded. But before the last couple days, so a couple days ago, a few days ago, I actually felt like I told my team, I felt like we've done teaching on the gifts. So many people got crazy activated and realized, whoa, that's me, you know? You guys got activated. So many different churches. Wow, I had no idea, you know, how many different churches were going to be represented. And we've seen deliverance, we've seen healing, we've seen miracles, we've seen how many inner monologues have stopped, right? Like, I apologize for everybody who hasn't gotten a message back from me. Like, I'm just getting message after message after message of, like, we could probably write a book just on the testimonies from this week. And it doesn't have to stop. You know, like I said, the very first night, we didn't come to fight for you, we came to fight with you, and we want the longevity and the equipment for that, right? So the Lord really put it on my heart that I know a lot of you guys, you know, like, follow me, and I've never had a problem being vulnerable, obviously, clearly. Some pushed out of me as well. But I realized, like, we talk about, you know, I'm always the supernatural girl, right? And I really don't share a lot about what intimacy with God looks like for me on a daily basis. And I realize, why haven't I ever done that? You know, well, most of the time people always want to hear about, you know, angels and demons and craziness, right? But it's like, for everything that you see crazy that way, you don't see the hours that I spend with him every day alone, you know? And it's not like it was easy, you know? I had to cultivate that. I went after it big time. But I think it's really important, and like what I said with my team this morning, you guys have been praying for the prophecy that's happening now for a long time, right? But you have a big picture. You guys have gotten a big picture, a big example of what that looks like for this to keep going, for the churches to join and worship. And like, how many of you guys punched through walls and came up and shared and actually got to walk in your own gifts in front of people and weren't afraid? You know, like, that's huge. And this is just going to grow and keep growing, you know? But that one-on-one intimate relationship with him and that friendship with God is what's going to keep you here. And then as you guys come together, it's just going to continue to explode. But if you keep it as a spectator sport, that's exactly what you're going to be, is a spectator sport. So I'm going to be a little vulnerable. Oh, Jesus. Lord, be my words. I'm actually punching through some of my own things right now. I realize I'm an easy book to read. And yesterday, I know a lot of you guys, because I could feel y'all, could tell I was a little off yesterday. I had some things really challenged by God. He always does so much more in me in these trips than what happens. And then when Seth preached at the Nazarene church, okay, back to the supernatural girl. When I sit next to him in worship before he's going to speak, I actually feel what happens in him in the spirit. You know, when he starts rocking back and forth and like his thumbs become like a video game on his phone taking notes. And I can feel what's happening, and I can feel what happens in him when he reads the word. And I actually leaned over and I'm like, dude, I want that. Like, I want that. The words never come alive for me. I used to get so frustrated with Holly because we would read, she'd always want to read the Bible. Go figure, right? And it would come alive for her, and she would just come out with these things that, God, this and that. And she'd tell me how she'd read it, and she would pretend she was the person that she was reading about and what that would be like. And I'm like, I read about a yoke. That was easy. I'm thinking runny eggs, right? Like, that's not what I would get at all, at all. So I honestly wouldn't read the Bible. But for those that know me, I'm one of those freaks of nature that if I hear a song once, I could tell you every lyric forever or commercial. But I also grew up some in Christian school and Sunday school, so I actually know the word. It's in me. I can recite it to you. But I don't always retain from reading. And so I actually just started, like, then what we all saw what happened with Seth, okay? And I'm like, how the heck did he do that? Okay, you guys, it's on video. If you guys haven't seen it, it is unreal. Like, I've heard him preach a million times. I was like, dang, I get to glean from that. That's my covering. Like, that's legit, right? But his ability, I always call him a walking Google, him and his wife and three kids, and I all live in a huge house. And I always call him walking Google Bible, because what he's done for me is I've had encounter after encounter after encounter. I've experienced all these things with angels and demons and deliverance and all this stuff, right? But I've never been scripturally sound as far as my ability to quote scripture to match it. But I get scripture bashed all the time, right? So I'll tell Seth the encounter, and he'll be like, oh, well, that's like in Luke when da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, what? It's in the Bible? Like, I didn't even know, right? And so anyways, last night, Seth kept going, I can't wait for you to hear what Sydney's going to share. I can't wait for you to hear what Sydney's going to share, right? Because I knew God was unlocking something. And it's not like I haven't had a desire, right? I want it. I wanted it to happen. So anyways, yesterday, on my way here, I was a hot mess. God really started messing with me about like 3 o'clock in the morning. And on my way here, I said, Lord, I want that. Like, I want that. I want to be able to read the word and have it come alive like that. I want to be able to understand it that way. And the Lord goes, you fear the Bible. And I went, what? He says, you fear the Bible. The way that I was taught as an adult, okay, you only stay in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you're looking on how to identify false prophets. You read so much each day, and then you write it down in your devotion, and it's to make sure you know how to be good and stay in alignment so that you're in obedience. And I didn't realize that I was so afraid that I was going to read something in the Bible that were going to tell me my encounters weren't real. That I was going to find something in the Bible that was going to tell me I was in error. Or because the crazy downloads that I get from God, that I was a false prophet and didn't know it. Yeah. And I had to break that stuff off yesterday, and it was hard. And I realized I've got years of all of this new growth on an old abscess. So walking through that with the Lord was huge for me yesterday. Then, being the leader of the Bethel team, and they do an altar call on if you have fear of the Bible, stand on this side. Fought shame a little bit. And then this guy's like, you better get up there. So that was huge for me. Absolutely huge for me. So guess what I did? I went home. And God, you know, God always talks to me through Moses, Esther, and David. And so I went Old Testament, Exodus even. And I started reading about Moses. Because the Lord said to me, he was talking to me about how the Lord made me a promise last night that he's going to give me a story in the Bible and word for every encounter I've ever had. Amen. And one of the ones that I had been sharing, yes, it's about tattoos, was when I went to get sibling tattoos, my sister and my brothers. I literally flew right from Hawaii to Seattle, because that's how you roll, to get sibling tattoos. And we all got things with arrows. And I was actually looking, because this is when I had just started to travel to other countries and stuff. And always, you know, like, there's so much I don't post, right? Because I do a lot of territorial strongholds. And I love it, you know, but it's just not something I really talk about a lot. And so we're in the tattoo shop, and I wanted to find something about travel, something about, I don't know, I wanted something. And I also get questioned a lot about my declarations, because I do make a lot of declarations, but they all happen. Go figure, right? They all happen. So I didn't have a scripture for it. I do now. So Anyways, I'm in the tattoo shop and I'm trying to think. Funny, I should have just asked the Lord first, but I'm trying to think of a scripture that has to do with travel and this and that, whatever. And here I am in a tattoo shop, and all of a sudden this angel shows up and says to me, Exodus 33:17-18. So I look it up on my Bible app really quick, and I start weeping in the tattoo shop. And it literally says, God said to Moses, I will do this thing you have spoken because you have found grace in my sight, and I call you my friend. And Moses says, show me your glory. Anybody who wants to come against declarations again, come talk to me. It wrecked me. I was a mess, totally a mess. I couldn't believe it. I was like, God, are you serious? Wow, you know? So anyways, I went to Exodus 33 yesterday and God started talking to me about Longview, big time. Because the one thing that Holly used to always say was she would pretend she was the person, right? And I was like, what? Like, it didn't make sense to me. Oh, wait, I put all these, well, I'm going to actually read it in a paper Bible. I did the whole copy and paste and put it in my phone thing, trying to look all legit. But this is new for me, you know? I also, not going to lie, I had a huge fear of doing this because, you know, we've all experienced, you quote a scripture on Facebook and then 500 people have opinions about it, right? So I'm just punching through all of my fears because this is what my experience was this morning. So, okay, here we go. I thought I underlined all this. Okay. I got getting old. My glasses don't work when I read up close now. Oh, that's why it's not underlined, because I'm in Genesis. Clearly. Oh, Lord, help me right now. I can feel the redness and the heat on my face. I'm so okay. This church has always been so safe for me. So safe. So this is awesome. Okay. There's underlining. Thank you. I did it. Okay. I love it. Okay. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, and a young man did not depart from the tabernacle. And then it says the promise of God's presence. And before I even started to read it, I was thinking about the hours I've spent praying into this trip. Like, I have no idea why I have such a crazy heart for Longview. I was held out here to be born and then went to rehab here. Like, but I love this place. I love it. And I have such a heart for it. And I love it. It says, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. And I'm thinking, I didn't know, but now I have a team with me. I didn't know who was going to come with me, but they're here, right? Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. Amen. And I started to think, my prayers weren't, God, let me go be a boss in Longview. No. It's like, God, I want them to know you. I want them to know you intimately. I want them to know that you can walk in your gifts and walk in intimacy and know you personally. To have that intimate relationship with you, and then when you bring them all together, that it just explodes, that when we walk so close to your heart, Lord, every person we come across, we feel your heart for them. We actually get your downloads for them, what you want to speak over them. Like, this is what my prayer would look like about this trip. And then I'm praying for my team. Lord, let them have a heart for Longview. Oh my gosh, every single one of them are just wrecked. Like, it's so good, right? Lord, let them see in Longview what I see, okay? Even though you know you drive through the highlands and you're like, oh, the God-forsaken place. No, right? No. Like, this is so doable. How many times is, why not here? Why not here, right? And with how many people come to this place and how much has been spoken over this place. So then I started reading. I actually remember some of what I read. When I started reading about how Moses would leave the camp to go to the tabernacle, right? How many times have you guys heard me this weekend say, go get alone with God, right? Go get alone with him. Because we can process God with our friends. We can have prophetic parties. But what does that look like to sit alone with him? Now mine's going to involve reading the word. I have a new desire for it. But to get alone with him, you know, I've said, I usually follow that up with Jesus, what's your truth about me, right? But then, you know, you start to get solid in that and it's like, okay, Lord, what's your heart for this? Where are we going next? What do you want me to feel about this? You know, and it becomes that becomes your inner monologue, right? Instead of all of your disqualifications and all of your lies and all the reasons why you're not able to do so and all that's messed up with you. Instead, it's like, you know, once that relationship started to cultivate in me, dude, even when I was messing up and making bad decisions, I knew I was going to be okay because I was talking to him about it. And it's like, Lord, I struggle with this. Why though? It's not, Lord, give me the strength to stop doing this. It's, Lord, why do I want to do this? Where did I pick up the belief system that, I don't know, whatever. I don't know, like clearly, you know, I've been going through a lot the last couple of years as far as health journey. A lot of it was with that. Lord, why do I feel like I can go all day and totally like eat super healthy and get all my nutrients in, but then after doing crazy sessions, I want to go get a bucket of popcorn in the movie theater and take it home, you know? Like, that's the only example I could think of. Like, why do I do the things that I do? And then finding out his truth from the root, you know? Everybody's gifted different. God works with me with breaking roots and breaking off what keeps you from him. And so when that becomes your inner monologue, you find out that he's with you all day. And he is your friend. Like, I'm God's best friend. And he's mine. We do everything together. I sing at the top of my lungs in the car, and I can feel him laughing at me, knowing I'm having a blast. I've been mad at him, so mad at him. And literally, not gonna lie, my mouth is not always perfect. And I tell him in such words. And what do I feel? Him tapping me on the back going, honey, get it out. Get it out, because I don't want that to keep you from me. I'm not afraid of your words. It's okay that you're angry. Get it out, because I want it to be gone so that I can come in and replace it with my love, yeah. Right? So I kind of feel like Moses. I think we might have the same hair even. In the fact that I have this desire, I have this relationship with Jesus, and it doesn't mean we can't all be Moseses. It's not for me and not you. It's for all of us. But I know him and I know his heart, right? And I know his heart for this place, for each and every one of you. And that's why, you know I get a little aggressive. We all know me, right? And I have no problem making fun of your bondage. Not in a condemning way, but in a, come on. Do you know how easy it is to hear and feel and see God's truth? Like, I remember the first time I ever heard Chris Vallotton say, break partnership with the spirit of stupid. I was so offended. I thought, how arrogant are you? I say that all the time. I really do. Because it's like, why would you believe that? Why would you want to believe that inner monologue when it's only separating you and isolating you? If your inner monologue can become talking to him all day, every day, even in your messes, even in addictions, even in bad behaviors, even in that, I don't know, somewhere in the last couple of years, I had this realization that I love clicks. Funny how when you have those clicks, everything just changes forever once it clicks. But usually it's what it takes to get it to click is my fire, honestly. But I had this click that, you know, how often, we all know the story. We sin, we mess up, we do something wrong, or we do something that we think God doesn't like. So we separate from him until we get it all back together and then come back into relationship. Right? We all do it, right? And when the Lord started talking to me about some of the people, I meet with some shady people, right? I mean, in things that none of you guys are trapped in, but I love them. I can see past their, I've dealt with murderers, I've dealt with sex traffickers, I've dealt with some really unsavory people, and I feel his heart for them. And it's like, what do I say to them all the time? I'm like, if your focus is that you've got to get cleaned up in order to be close to God, you've already kicked your own butt. But it's inviting him into your mess and your depravity, because he's the only person that's going to bring you out. And so the Lord's like, why doesn't that work in simple everyday life, even with people where your biggest sin is I'm trying to avoid Starbucks? You know, like, come on. Like, it doesn't have to be. I mean, he might come, and he's so funny. He might come back and be like, well, what's your problem with Starbucks? Why are you avoiding Starbucks? Is it a religious thing? Or are you trying to avoid coffee? Like, who knows? I don't know what it's going to be. You know, some people think because of what's on the emblem, you know, what, I don't know. Now I'm rabbit trailing. Anyways, it doesn't have to be about crazy deep sins and addiction. It can be normal, everyday inner monologue. We all have things we struggle with. We all have behaviors we don't want to do. Dude, mine is social media. Like, I've been taking huge breaks from social media because I will go down the rabbit hole. Seriously. But then what happens? The last time I got sucked down that rabbit hole, you know what the Lord said to me? I love that you love my people so much. It was actually kind of nice to see you numb out and chill out for a minute. Because when I go through everybody's feed, I'm like, oh, that's great, right? To find out that his opinion, yeah, do I want to spend all my life on social media? No. But the fact that his opinion in that moment wasn't condemning me for the hours I wasn't spending with him. It was that he enjoyed me enjoying his people, right? So you don't realize that the character of God that you might have learned in Bible school might not always, not Bible school, Sunday school, unless you went to Sunday school with Seth. Because the Jesus I knew was just broke and traveled in bare feet from city to city. And I realized I had a huge block that I still, like here, we live here in this time, but the Bible's in that time. I never knew how to gap the two. I really didn't. But then the first time Jesus showed me him as friend, he was wearing skinny jeans and had gauges and was wearing a beanie. And then I could associate that. And then I saw him all the time. You know, I could just picture him. I could feel him. Then there's been times I've gone through season when he's showing me the Father's heart. And I remember, you know, fathers have been warped for me. And I had a really hard time. I still saw God as, you know, had the Ten Commandments in one hand and a lightning strike in the other waiting for me to mess up, you know. And when he became real, it's, you know, for my heart changers out here, there used to be a guy named Marty. I've never known any man that loves like that as a father. And he used to grab my face and look so deep into my soul. Like, I love you, Jenna. You're so safe. And I remember that God revealed himself to me through Marty. And he's like, because that's the one thing I could associate with. But then when he became friend, was after I had been here. And I don't know if you guys remember, we had done like a huge conference. And then right before I left, I blew my knee out, ended up leaving Mountain Ministries in an ambulance. That began one of the hardest seasons of my life. And this is part of what I wanted to share, because it's not all hearts and flowers and rainbows and roses. You know, it's like Jeff shared, you know, he got thrown off course. And I realized I didn't even talk to God. I was so mad. I was so mad. And like 3 months went by. I was depressed. I was really upset. Missed out on an Italy trip. I was really mad. And I remember I finally got real with God and I said, so many people got healed. So many people got saved. So many people got delivered. And then I leave in an ambulance. He goes, oh, I owe you. Ouch. Seriously. I went, oh, wow. Maybe I did think that. Did I think that? Oh. I did think that. And I was like, Lord, why didn't you protect me? Why didn't you protect me? Because not only did I blow out my knee, I fell going upstairs. Who does that? Okay? Who falls upstairs? Me. That's what happens, right? And I was getting ready to come back here, and I didn't want to come back here. I was mad. I think I ended up spending half that drive FaceTiming the Hoove, a hot mess. You know, it had been about 6 months had gone by. And it had been the hardest 6 months. But even though that whole time I knew I was mad at God, I knew I loved him, and I knew he loved me. That was never a question. And sometimes my daily prayers were, God, let me clean my mouth up. But I said, God, I'm mad as hell, but I love you, and I choose you, but I don't want to talk to you. It was my truth. That's where I was. And I could tell he was just there waiting for me to get over it, you know, because we do that with our friends, don't we? How many of us have friends that go through it, and we know they're in their process and we're okay with it, We just wait for them to get through their process and come back. That's what a friend does, right? So then I'm driving up here. Little did I know, I should have caught a clue that God was going to talk to me about Moses then. As I'm driving up here, the Lord's like, I want you to listen to Graham Cook's Away in the Wilderness. I'm not in the wilderness. You're right here. I actually said that. And and I'm like, I don't need to listen to that. I'm not in the wilderness. I'm just mad. And I start listening to it, and the first thing he starts talking about is Moses and the Israelites. And he's like, you got a million people whining and crying and complaining about things not being the way that they want. And then you've got one man who was friends with God, who knew the truth. And he's like, who do you hear about in the Bible, the million or Moses? Who made the change? One man. One man that chose God was good even in the midst of adversity. People who thought he was crazy, who just wanted to whine and complain all the time. And he's like, Jenna, what do you want to be? The million or the one? I'm like, I want to be the one. And he's like, do you trust me? And I said, yes. I'm just trying not to be mad. I knew I was mad, but I couldn't figure out why. I wasn't to the end of it yet. But all of a sudden, I could feel his heart switch towards me. And he was so tangibly present in my truck with me. This is a really raw story, but it's so beautiful. And the whole reason I want to release it is for anyone that struggles with friendship of God. We're going to go after that today. The Lord said to me, we are going to finish removing any false identities and any ways for you to receive love or affirmation or identity or worth or value through anything else besides me. And this whole situation I'm about to tell you about, I was pretty much FaceTiming the Hoove and Sarah through the whole thing. You got, a lot of you guys know Sarah. I was leaving my sister's house after I'd been here, and God goes, I want you to go to the house. I don't want to go to the house. He says, I want you to go to the house. And so I drove somewhere I hadn't been in a really long time. And it's pretty much the house where my whole life was robbed from me. And I went, and I like FaceTime Sarah as I'm driving down the street. I'm like literally having a heart attack. I literally feel like I don't know that I'm going to come out of this, but I knew the Lord wanted me to. And I go and I sit at that house and I look at it. And I said, Lord, I just started weeping. I didn't even know what I was going to do. And I said, Lord, if there's any parts of my soul that are stuck here, I want it back, cleansed by you. And if I'm carrying anything from this house, I want it back. I mean, I don't want it. I give it back. And the Lord says, you know what? This is where you decided that you needed designer bags to have worth and value. This is when you decided that you needed to be the most popular girl in school, which I was. But mind you, I was in sixth grade and it was Esprit bags and they were $15, okay? And I didn't have to just have one. You know, everybody was feeling so guilty about what had happened to me that I had 20 because everybody was buying me stuff. And the Lord really showed me how in sixth grade I really partnered with, if my friends were cool, then I was cool, right? And I left there just a mess, but I felt like I was with a best friend processing a journey that I hadn't touched. So then I leave there. I didn't know this was going to go down this road. I leave there, and I have to get to Oregon. I'm thinking that's huge whopper, right? God just changed my life. But as I'm driving through Newburgh, which is where I had was most of my addiction, the Lord says, I want you to go to the apartment. Lord, I don't want to go to the apartment. And I ended up parking right outside my old apartment where my boys were little. When I was 28, it's where I discovered what drugs could do for me. And I sat 15 feet from the tip of my truck into that apartment from the same place I was sitting the day that I became consciously aware that drugs make me a better person. So I thought. And I just started bawling. And he goes, this is where you found something to numb your pain that you didn't even know you were in. And he's like, and I want to replace that for you. And he started to show me my thoughts and how in the moment I forgot that I was so excited to actually find something that made my pain go away, that I rejoiced in it. Like it was as simple as taking a pill. And the Lord's like, this is how I wanted it to be. No, he hadn't done that yet. Sorry. He just showed me. Okay. And so I said the same thing. If there's any parts of my soul here, I want it back. If I'm carrying anything from here, I give it back. Seth probably has a scripture for it. I don't know. But I know that it's what he was saying to me, and I know that my life forever changed. So then, as I go to leave Newburgh, and I think this is done, my cousin Jessica, she comes up here sometimes, we call her Jazz. She says, hey, do you want to have Hawaiian barbecue? And I'm like, sure. She goes, okay, and she gives me the address, and I go to meet her there in Newburgh. God's a funny guy. The Hawaiian barbecue place is my old pharmacy. So I'm sitting having lunch with Jesus in my old pharmacy, where I won't even begin to tell you the parts of my soul that were probably there. And I'm weeping as I'm eating Hawaiian barbecue. And the Lord is just so tangibly saying, this is where this, this is where this, this is where this, this is where lying became completely normal for you. This is where manipulation was just completely normal. You didn't even realize you were doing it anymore. But I want to replace it with this, right? So then, here I am, alone in my car again. And the Lord's like, oh man, this is going to wreck me. The Lord says, okay, we got one more thing to do. A couple blocks away was the storage unit that I had my kids living in. And it's ran by an automotive shop. And the guy, Mike, that has owned it for years, I didn't know they were Christians. And I walked in as this, almost this Jenna. I walked in and I looked at him and I said, Mike? And I could tell he looked at me like, you look really familiar, but he couldn't place me. And I said, about 6 years ago, I had lost once again another home due to drugs, and I had nowhere to go with my kids, and you let us live in your storage unit. And I said, you were the first person that didn't just shun me and throw me away. You actually let us live in a storage unit because we had nowhere to go. And I just want to tell you what's happened since then. And he was still in shock that that was me, period. And he goes, you're a Bethel pastor? He goes, me and my wife go there for conferences all the time. You cannot be the same chick. And to be able to tell him what happened since then. One by one, as I told him what had happened, all the workers that worked under him were all Christians. As they come in, they're wearing like giving keys and have all the Christian bracelets and necklaces and stuff. And they're all crying. And I left there. I didn't even know how to explain how I felt. It was unreal. And as I'm driving back to Reading, I literally talked to the Lord so crazy. Like he was just so tangibly right there. And I wasn't mad anymore, obviously. So I get like halfway home. And the only song I could listen to over and over was Word of God Speak, when it says, finding myself at a loss for words. But yet everything that was going on between him and I was so real, and I knew something massive was going on inside of me, even though I was in the fire and it sucked. But I knew I was coming out of it, and that he was like, literally, I felt like solidifying the foundation that I was on in order to sustain the call in my life, because I could not have continued to go forward with that stuff. And so I get like halfway to Reading, and Jesus goes, friend, this is how it should have been. And it's like I'm in an aerial view over my bed as a little girl, and there's Jesus sitting in a rocking chair next to me, feeling completely protected and taken care of. He goes, this is what I wanted. And I was able to grab that truth like that's what happened. Yeah. Then he takes me to the apartment. And he actually, I see this picture of me and my ex-husband sitting on the sofa with him between us, and he's like completely, I look back now, like mine and Mike's issue was only that we didn't know how to communicate with each other. We were just young and dumb. But the Lord literally, like, there was such truth, and like, he just showed me what his heart was for me, like an example. And I was able to grab that. Like, that had been my past. Like, my behaviors come from his new truth, right? That the old doesn't have to stay there anymore. And then the Lord was like, I was so glad you had that storage unit. You guys had that place bomb, right? Like, we had it decorated like a house, you know? He's like, but at that time, he's like, I would give that rather than the streets, but you weren't anywhere ready for me to give you what I had for you, you know? I'm not trying to get all heavy, but I do feel like it's really important to know that sometimes we go down journeys and they hurt and they're painful, and God stirs up sorrow and rejections and hurts to bring healing. And if we cannot shut it down and actually sit and talk to him about it as a friend, that he gets us to the other side and actually shows us what he meant for it to be. Because that's what friends do, right? I don't know how I went from Moses to this, but in this friendship, that's where I live every day. And God has given me a heart for here. And I, for any of you guys that have ever heard me speak, I hope I've never, Lord Jesus, please. I hope I've never come across like, oh, it's just me. I just have crazy favor. It's just me. All you hear is that I have no access. You don't. I don't have anything that you don't have the ability to go after and cultivate. But getting alone, leaving the camp, what happens? A pillar of smoke. Then what happened? Moses would go and people would come out of their tents because they noticed, right? They noticed what would happen to Moses when he would leave the camp. They noticed that a pillar of smoke and that signs and wonders would go on with him, right? How many of you guys know when somebody that really carries the presence of God walks in a room? Why? They left the camp. They got alone with God. And they're like, God, what's your truth about me? What is your heart for these people? What is your desire for these people? Okay, so I took you guys down a pretty interesting story, but it was mine. And the freedom that came from that, I didn't even know I needed. I didn't even know I needed. We've all had things happen in our childhood, whether it's as simple as we didn't hit the ball in second grade and we partnered with the lie we're not good enough, or some of us have experienced horrific traumas, but none of it's too big for him. Nothing. And when you can sit down and talk to him as a friend, whether it's about yourself or your community or the Bible study you're starting or the prophetic parties you're going to throw, whatever that looks like, doing that through friendship. How many of you guys struggle with seeing God as friend that's willing to admit it? Cool. How many want that level of hearing him, walking with him, and understanding him? And being okay, like, I've gotten to the point now where I've seen the fruit so much when he roots me out, that when he does that now, I laugh so hard. I actually get it now when Grab goes, goody, a tribulation for me, right? I get it now. I'm like, let's do this, God. Let's do it right now. Sometimes I get a little too bold and I want to go faster than he does. Like, let's just get this over with, you know, do what you're going to do. But he's safe, you know? And one of the things right before I shared during worship is I was like, how could I have had, you know, this whole Bible thing? I was like, Lord, how do I know all these things and feel you and know you and experience all these things? And I haven't had this grounding in the word. He's like, because I'm your friend and I was okay with your process. Because guess what? Now I get to add it in. And now I get to incorporate it. And I actually am really excited because I feel like I'm going to understand me a whole lot more. I really do. So if you want that level of intimacy with the Lord in your life, what that looks like for you and your relationship, I want you to stand up. What? More friendship, yes. God, I just ask, first of all, that my heart was seen in this. And Lord, I'm so okay if I made a mess because I know you'll clean it up because you're my friend. But Lord, I want to release that so freely. The continuous habitational relationship with you. That you habitate with us. You don't visit us on Sunday mornings. That you habitate with us. That the ongoing inner monologue with you can be so tangible even in chaos. That to be so plugged into your truth about every single situation that we don't lose it when the situations get to be too much, but we actually see you in it. Amen. And able to talk to you in it. And Lord, right now I ask that that would drop in this room like a bomb. Lord, that that ability to supernaturally step into that level of relationship, Lord, that for those that struggle with that, that my ceiling would be their floor. Because, Lord, it did take a lot to cultivate that. But, Lord, if that can be bypassed and people can just close their eyes and get alone with you and be so aware of where you are around them, I just release that right now in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I ask for each person in here that if you have a journey for them to restore anything that's keeping them from depth of relationship, Lord, I just love your gentleness and kindness and that there would be a supernatural grace on it to be able to trust you and just know that the whole point is to get to the other side and that the fruit is plentiful. But I thank you for your heart for Longview. I thank you, Lord, that you're excited about the camp and the tents outside the camp. And I thank you for all of the amazing people that you've brought here this week and all the people that have been willing to hit the streets and go save their people. Yeah, yeah. A lot of people stepped into a whole lot of new upgrades this week, and we thank you for that. Yeah. We thank you for that. So, Lord, I just ask for tremendous blessing and favor, ridiculousness, abundance, miracles, every good thing from heaven, Lord, just drop in this room in Jesus' name. And thank you for the longevity of craziness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did you want to add anything? Since this is our last time, I just feel like, how are we doing? Okay, team, are you guys okay with coming up?
Yeah.
We'll end with a little bit of fun. Mama's like, fun. I'm tired. Huh? Yeah, only a little. I just figure, why not? Why not? These guys have just been full of downloads and just poured out and poured out and poured out. And so we're just going to see if anybody's got anything they want to share or word of knowledge or, ooh. Courtney, apparently you're locked and loaded.
I am.
Yeah, Glenn says so. Anyways, this is our last time with everybody. I just want to say goodbye and that we love you and leave with blessings. That's what we're going to do. We're going to bless them. Let's bless them. Yeah, blessings. Wait, I'm going to get in receive mode. I'm going to sit down.
You're getting this back, Courtney.
Okay.
It's coming.
Okay.
So, the first day we landed here, the first thing that I got was this vision I shared with the leadership. And it was a vision of a nesting place. And there was this hen on an egg. And it was brooding over that egg. And I was just like, Lord, what is this? And what he told me, and I just want to release it to you folks, anyone that hasn't heard this, that he sees the fact that you've nested and brooded and you've nurtured, And as you've done that, these eggs have been taken and they've been sent out. Yeah. And what I want you to hear is that God is so thankful for what you've done, that you've actually invested in people. And he's taken those from you and he sent them out into the world to affect the world. Yeah. But you're on an egg right now. You're brooding on that thing, and that's going to hatch and it's going to flourish and it's going to create more. And he's not going to take this one. Wow. So he's saying, thank you for letting me take what you've given. Thank you. That's what he's saying, that you've let me have those. And I've used them, and now it's going to return to you. He's not going to take those from me anymore.
Wow. Yeah. Hannah's ready.
Hannah?
God is releasing childlikeness in the room. I was reading Mark 10:15. Over on my seat, and it actually says that those that don't receive the kingdom like a child will never inherit it. Fun is not an option. And fun is not something that we do in order to go deep, and fun is not something that we do because we're bored. Fun is actually a weapon, and childlikeness is a weapon. And the whole trip, I've just felt the Lord invite me during worship to loosen up. Righty tighty, lefty loosey. So I've just been spinning. spinning in the fire tunnel, spinning everywhere. So I just want to bless you guys to be childlike. If you need more fun, or if you just feel intense or heavy or serious, would you stand up?
Did you notice that? Did you say that kids started coming out?
No way. Ooh.
There's about 7 kids that came out.
And if you're standing, will you just spin to the left with me? Yeah, God, I just release childlikeness in this room. It's fun. It's easy. Jesus, you are fun and you are easy. Freedom is easy. Jesus is easy. It's easier than we think. Yeah, God, thank you for your fun. Just lifting heavy yokes right now in Jesus' name.
Actually, I got a word this morning. I love the Bible, so. Just.
I feel that at all.
That's not what I meant. But this morning it was Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. You know it all. But the Lord in service started telling me about Seth was talking about the trees and how the fruit drops down from the trees. So I went to Revelation because he's been talking to me about the trees that are on the river in Revelation 22. Yeah. And that there's a lot of fruit. And it says, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit. I was like, wait a minute. There's 7 fruit of the Holy Spirit, but there's 12 here. What happened to the other 3? What are they? And I started thinking about, you know, what are those 3 fruits? Obviously, it's childlikeness. That's awesome. You know, I think he's given you 3 fruits that are individual for you. I'm going to be working on generosity, actually. So it's just whatever, something to think about. I think God is so good that he gives you things that are only for you. The fruit of revelation, the fruit of mystery. So that's it.
Sir, in the suit, like the really cool looking suit. Yeah. Okay, so I feel like God just wants you to know that, like, beneath all the exterior things, that he actually really does like you and love you, and that he believes in you a lot, and he actually thinks so much, he thinks more highly of you than you do of yourself. He really does believe in you and just love you beneath all that, and he doesn't look at all that stuff. He just looks, like, deep down, and even if you don't know what you got, he knows what you are, and he just loves all that about you. Also, yeah, cool suit again.
Yeah, a lot of the team today is wearing red, and it was not planned at all. So I asked Jesus. So I asked Jesus what it meant, and he was saying that there was redemption being released over specific people who are in red, like things that have been lost have been taken away, like the Lord is bringing it back and bringing increase. So like there's a lot of red, and people are wearing red clothes right now, but I just feel like it's like a whole corporate thing that the Lord is redeeming things that have been taken away from you, and he's bringing it back, but not just bringing it back, but like giving you more than what the enemy took from you. So I just encourage you guys that whoever's wearing red and anybody else that wants to take this, like the Lord is redeeming things in your life, dreams and visions and like desires in your heart, and he's bringing it back, and he wants it to happen for you guys.
Yes. Yeah. It was so fun prophesying yesterday over you and getting to know you a little bit more. And like I've been experiencing since we came like this hunger in you. And yesterday that during the night when Jeff shared about disappointment, this has been like when you want things with like so much hunger and you go after things, sometimes disappointment comes in and then it looks like as if like there is weakness there. But I want to release this word that yesterday, it's in 1 Corinthians 15, 42, and it speaks about how there is resurrection power. And so when I read this the first time, it was a time that I felt very tired and very weak. And then when I was reading it, I just felt it said, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, but what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. So to me, what it spoke is, whenever I feel dishonored, whenever I feel weak, whenever I feel like I have no strength, then there is glory and there is power. So I want to release this. Like if whenever you feel like this weakness and tiredness, like just think the same weight, exactly the same weight in glory, exactly the same weight in power coming over you. Because God is riding on our weaknesses and on our moments that we don't have strength. He takes over.
Yeah, you can keep praying. You can follow me if you want. I'll tell you. Yeah. Did you guys know that you guys are in the Bible? I read about you guys just the other day in Mark 4. It talks about the parable of the sower, and the scene is that Jesus is out by the sea teaching, and there's a huge crowd that follows around him. And he starts teaching about the kingdoms, and you guys know that Jesus taught a lot in parables. He explained the reason for that. But he teaches the parable of the seed, the sower and the seed. Some seed falls on the stony ground. You guys probably know the story. But it says after he taught, the crowd went away. But then when he was alone, that some came behind and said, what did you mean by that? And he said, to you, I'm going to read it for you. He said, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. You guys are the ones that just followed behind. You guys are the one that sat in the crowd and heard the king. And then when it seemed like the show was over and it was time for everybody to go home, we've had our fill. We've done our hour of church. Let's go to Applebee's or something like that. You guys have been the ones over the years that have just followed behind going, no. No, please come back. I need to know more. Please, I didn't understand that. I know the show's over and I know everybody's gone, but there's something in my heart that's drawing me to you, and I really need you to explain this more to me. And he said, to you, it's been known to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Yeah, so I bless you guys, and I'm humbled by you guys to be around you, that when the crowd goes, you stay. So bless you guys.
Hey, guys. First of all, I just want to thank you for actually having us. It has been actually big and impactful to my life as well. But I wanted to encourage you guys with some things that I was seeing over the city. So Lord was showing me, I have that special relationship like Jenna does with the Father. And I actually saw him walking into Longview, and he was just standing. I just saw his feet, and he was up high. He was big. And he said, I'm in the city. And he wants me to impart to you something that he gave to me. He wants you to be ruined for everyday life. He doesn't want you to go back to the way it was, and he won't allow it to happen. So, Father, I just bless this congregation and every church in the city right now, God, that you would ruin them for everyday life, that they have tasted and seen that you are good and how amazing you are and how easy it is to follow the gospel, God. So right now I just impart to them, God, that hunger that never gets filled, that they'll continue to go deep in you, that the seers will see and the prophets will prophesy, the evangelists will go out into the streets, that they're going to begin to see the city shift even in the next few days. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, I just thank you, Father God, for bringing unity, breaking heaven open and bringing unity into this city. Amen. You've already begun it, God, so we thank you that it won't end. Father, I just thank you that you release the keys to the city, to the people, in Jesus' name. Hey. I thank you, Father God, for the angels standing around this city, God. There's a clean sweep happening. We hear this said a lot, but he's saying heaven is invading earth. And there's a light shining on the city, and people are going to walk through Longview that have walked through maybe a couple years ago, and they're going to say, hey, something's different. And I want you to know it's because of you guys. He also wants you guys to know how proud he is of you, and he wants to thank you for enduring, and he wants to thank you for fighting for him, and he wants to know that every single one of you have sowed into this kingdom here. Yeah.
So I actually got a picture for you guys as well, and it's funny because this picture actually got at least two of us on this trip. When we were signing up for trips, we were allowed to sign up for seven, and there's like 70 trips, and you're flipping through this whole catalog of trips, and each one had a picture, and for two of us, the Lord had given us that picture in worship or in quiet time or whatever, and so we put that down as one of our trips to sign up for. And it was a picture of mountains with all these like evergreens, which is really normal out here. I'm from Tennessee and our trees look like broccoli. But anyway, so that was an important detail for me. It was these mountains with all these trees, and it was just filled with fog. And you could just barely see the tips of some of the trees. And yesterday, the Lord gave me that picture, and he was like, this is me filling up the city. Like, I just saw him rolling in like this thick, thick fog, and it was just filling every building and every room and every space and every street, and he was just touching everything. And he's just releasing that, and he's releasing his presence because of your hunger and because of your perseverance. And something else I felt like I wanted to share with you guys was Psalm 36. And it says, starting in verse 5, it says, your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean depths. You care for people and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your unfailing love. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of delights. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. And I just wanted to encourage you, like, even when you don't feel the tangible presence of God, or even when you're not feeling his smile over you or his song over you or his touch, you are in the river. Like, that's where you live because you're his child. Yeah. And he's created each and every one of you so uniquely. And I love that we got to just sit and prophesy over you guys yesterday, because I got to see just a glimpse of what he sees every time he looks at you. And there's a reason you are exactly the way that you are, because you carry him so uniquely. And there's nothing that makes his heart more happy than when you're fully you. When you're fully, fully you, when you come alive the most, his heart comes alive for you. Like, it just makes him so happy. And so I just want to encourage you to go after that. Go after your passions. Go after what makes you come alive, because that's what you were created to do. And the Lord's going to breathe on it. And it's going to be so fabulous. And when you start to do that, the people around you, it's actually contagious. And the people that you come in contact with at Winco or Walmart, they're going to look at you and they're going to go, oh my gosh, I can be fully me. And then I'm going to learn to be alive. And then they're going to feel the Father's delight for them. And it's just this beautiful cycle. And he created us to be that way. So just press in. Know that you know that you know that you're already in the river, and there's nothing you can do to change that.
Just wanted to share an observation real quick that I had doing the evangelism. So the first day we went out, it was okay. I mean, but there just wasn't breakthrough. The second day we went out, it was total breakthrough. And not for me. I was supposedly the leader. I was just sitting back watching two women that live in this community connect with people and see the impact they had over and over and over. And then the third day we went out, and it was all foreigners, me and some other folks that aren't part of Longview, and it was okay. The observation, though, is that you are anointed to touch your people.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take a little bit of a risk. I saw the number 18, and then I heard the month of June, and then I heard January. Anything, any of those significant to anyone in here? 18, June, and then January. What does it mean something to you? Get out of school in June. The funny part about that is I actually kind of followed, if that means anything to anyone, please let me know, but I actually kind of followed a little bit of a rabbit trail with that, and just kind of heard God's voice, and I heard, and this is not having to do with school, but I heard there's liberty and freedom. Yeah. So, Father, I just pray into that, God, that from young to old, you would set captives free. People that are even bound by what other people think. People that are bound by the labels that they wear and they've worn all their life. That you would set prisoners free. People that have done stupid stuff. People that the world says you deserve your punishment. God, that you would set them free. Amen. Amen. Dude, there's a guy right there I was going to prophesy over. He left. God. Oh, well. Okay. Okay. What do I have in me? Holy Spirit, be more. It's... Let me ask God. Sorry. I do want to say one thing. This is not prophetic, but I saw your hat, sir. Did you serve? Thank you so much for your service. Is anyone else in here serving the military? Thank you so much for your service. Jesus Christ set us free, but without men and women serving in the military, we would have a lot more restrictions in our lives. So thank you so much for your service. Hey, Courtney. Come here.
Yeah.
Saw this on the ground. No. So yesterday, me and a couple other people prophesied over her for quite, probably 15, 20 minutes, somewhere in there, 30 minutes. Wow. She's crying. But it was a beautiful thing. And I just want to say to you, and just affirm in front of everyone, that the more and more you take risks and just say yes to God, the more fruit you're going to see. And you are not pigeonholed by your gifts and your talents. You actually get to say yes. You get to say yes. You are not, and this is just for everyone, you're not bound by an obligation to Jesus. You actually get to say yes to a friendship. The moment I am bound to my wife by my vows to her, that becomes a prison. I get to choose my wife every day. I get to choose to love my sons every day. We get to choose it. There are days where it's not easy. There are days where it's not easy to say yes to God. God, I feel like I'm going to my... There were days growing up in college where... You can go. You don't have to stand up here.
Oh, thanks.
I love you. There are days where, in college, where I just a little bit of my testimony, where I wanted to feel the depression. I wanted to feel the rage I had against myself. But those days are sweeter now because I could say yes to Jesus. Jesus, I feel like junk today. But I know you love me. So I choose that truth over my feelings. That's awesome. God is doing so much in this region. There are voices that were liberated. There are new monologues inside of our head. There are new truths. We're walking away different. I'm walking away different. And we get to say yes to love. I get to let myself be loved first.
No.
Sorry. There's the word love somewhere around here.
Yeah, it's the Bible.
It's the Bible. But no. It's awesome. Thanks for censoring my words. Anyway, you know, who else? Amanda.
Yeah.
Amanda. I kind of wanted to give you guys a picture of what I saw coming here. I'm from Texas. It's very flat. And it is not flat here. When I walked in and just meeting with some of you guys, such strong warriors. Tired warriors. Armor and chainmail covered in dents and blood. Just tired. You guys have been fighting so hard for this city, and it's kind of felt a bit like Helm's Deep. It's kind of felt that way. But I feel the Spirit of God moving in this city and willing to exchange your outlook of Helm's Deep to the splendor of Gondor for this city. It's pushing back the dark. And I think Jenna invited each of you into a relationship with Jesus where he wants to just sit with you and polish your armor for you. He wants to take that chainmail and make sure it's clean and the dents are heated out and you're polished and ready for battle again. He knows your heart's willing and he loves that about you. But he's inviting you into a place today to meet with him so that he can serve you. So that he can love you in a way that prepares you for the next day, prepares you for the next moment. So if you guys are willing, I would love for you to just close your eyes and I want you to picture yourself in that armor. And
And if you'll say this with me, Jesus, I give you permission to polish my armor. Thank you for loving me well. Thank you for serving me. And thank you for giving me the strength for tomorrow. Spirit of God, move in my life. Everywhere I go, I push back the dark by being who you created. Let's walk in the splendor of Gondor. That's Longview. Okay. It's a movie, Lord of the Rings. I love it. Watch it. It's so good. It will change your life. Helm's Deep is a battleground in one of the three films. Which one is that in? It's Two Towers, right? Twin Towers. So Helm's Deep is this stronghold that the city of Rohan they retreat to because the enemy's coming. Huge army versus small army. And they retreat to Helm's Deep, and it really looks hopeless. The wall's taken. They're boarded up in the throne room. They're hiding in the throne room. And kings call out other kings, and they ride out. And when they choose to ride out from the throne room after calling out the greatness in one another, they are met with light and another army, and they push back the dark. Yeah. That's you guys. That's so you guys.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh my gosh, we love you guys. And I'm just so thankful for how much you guys, for having us, letting us come be a part of what God is doing here. And we go. But I just hope you guys all keep this going. You know, if you feel like you're going to sit back and wait to see who starts a Bible study or a prophetic group or have a prophetic party or whatever, don't wait for someone else. Do it. Start talking to your friends. Start with two people. Go to three. Go to four. I really think what I've seen happen with the pastors this week is going to keep going. And I think whether it's once a month or twice a month, you know, getting all together like we did at the Nazarene Church and do more fire tunnels. That's so great. And keep it going because, like, I know Sharnessa and Sam aren't here. It was really funny. I'm going to end with this. They're a big part of this with Jeff. But I don't know what time it was, but it was a couple years ago. I had seen Sam for the first time, and I thought I gave him a word. And I remembered it very clearly. And then when we were talking the other day, he said I never actually gave it to him. All I said was, I see this in you or whatever. And I'm like, no, I know I gave that to you. I totally remember giving that to you. So anyways, yesterday we were over there and I remembered. But what's funny is if I would have given it to him when I saw it, it wouldn't have made sense. God's timing is always better than what we think. And so as I told Sam, I said, well, back then what I saw was, totally makes sense now. What I saw was the pastors in this area all like on a track with the white chalk in between, right? And then, you know, curling, how they have the people with the little brooms that go before it. And I saw Sam with that little broom removing all the lines, right? But back then when I saw it, I thought it meant, you know, like he comes under and serves and helps out the pastors. And I was like, nope, you're the one erasing the lines. And the lines are disappearing. We had so many churches show up that saw things they'd never saw before. And people saw a lot of miracles and things they'd never experienced before. People getting slain in the spirit and wrecked. And I love the people that didn't feel God the first time in the fire tunnel, so they double and triple dipped and then got wrecked and started screaming and dancing, right? Like so much happened. I do have to throw a kid's perspective of this, though. We did a fire tunnel at Bethesda, and was it Jet or Justice? I'm sitting in the front, and Jet comes up. He goes, I just want to see people be unconscious. He just wanted to sit there and observe, you know. I'm just like out the mouth of babes, right? But we seriously don't. And I know this morning was a lot deeper. Like, we've had a lot of fun. A lot of like, whoa! But you know what? That secret place is what keeps that whoa going. Right? Because if each one of you guys have that cultivated and you come together, it's explosive. Right? So we might be leaving the battle, but you guys are victorious and you're still in it and winning and taking ground. And this is going to go and go and go and go. And our whole thing was for Longview to never be the same. That happened. That happened. So did you want to end with it? Did you want anything? No? You're good. All right. We love you guys. Happy Sunday.